Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. I have to start off this episode by mentioning that yesterday, Thursday, January 16th, we got the news that David Lynch passed away. If you know me and my wife, or have probably heard me say many times on this podcast, we are huge fans of him and his work. And where to even begin with this man, this light, this artist. He has had a bigger effect, I think, on the world and consciousness than anybody could ever probably imagine, especially himself. He was a huge proponent for meditation, which has had an incredibly positive effect on so many people around the world. Huge proponent of art and creativity. He lived the art life. He somehow was able to create a life where he could just make art all the time and live a good life doing that. In fact, there was a documentary about him called The Art Life, where he talks about how he got into art and a lot of people don't know, but he made art in addition to films on canvases, some very weird, beautiful things. He had such a positive effect on so many people's lives, particularly with the films that he made. But the stories, the characters that he tackled, and we have been lucky enough to become a little part of this David Lynch fan community, particularly Twin Peaks. And we have met, because of him, we have met some just amazing people from around the world, both in person and through social media. And, It's just a huge loss for art in general. I am wearing a t-shirt today that I designed and printed up one of these. It's a Cooper Twin Peaks themed thing. Last night we watched Blue Velvet, one of his early films, the first film of his that Sharon started to see when she was 9 years old, and then about 30 or 40 minutes into the film, some stuff happens, and her aunt, who was showing it for her, who had never seen it, said, "I think we should turn this off, because it's not for a 9-year-old." But Sharon was hooked. She was hooked on whoever made this beautifully weird, dark stuff. So, you know, I could go on forever about David Lynch, but there are we have some words to get to. I think one of his phrases was something about notice the synchronicities. And so we have taken that to heart, and we notice synchronicities all the time. And I don't feel like there are coincidences. I think that these are things, I don't know, they feel like they are meant to be. And Sharon actually woke up in the middle of the night yesterday morning, before we had known that he passed, and she couldn't get back to bed for a while. And we found out maybe around 11 a.m. Chicago time that he had passed. And I believe that she on some level knew that he had passed or was about to pass, because this is not the first time that she has had some sort of weird reaction when somebody close in her life passes without knowing that they passed. I think this is probably at least the third or fourth time. So, you know, synchronicity, don't know. If you are not aware of his work, please go check it out. His films, TV shows, his art, his music. He did music too. He made furniture. He just did whatever he wanted to. And I'm jealous. I'm jealous that he had the freedom to do that, but maybe someday we all will as well. Okay, let's talk about more fire words, which is apropos for him because fire and smoke was a big theme in a lot of his work. And I saw somebody post yesterday, they're like, I think it's interesting that fire and smoke had something to do with his death because, well, for one thing, he was a smoker for decades. He got emphysema, he had to be on oxygen. He wasn't really supposed to leave the house because he was so far into it. And then the LA fires happened and he had to evacuate. And it was not that much longer after that he passed. So, oh, much love to you, David Lynch. I will have a sip of my coffee. I'm not a coffee fan unless it's sweetened. But, he was a big, big coffee fan. Black as midnight on a moonless night. Same as Cooper on my shirt. Okay, fire. Let's talk about fire words. The first one is firehouse. One word, noun from 1901. The synonym is fire station. My sound effect is going to be an ominous whoosh in honor of David, I should also say, I mean, first of all, this episode is airing a few weeks after this has all happened, so apologies for the weird disconnect there. But also, in 3 days, January 20th would have been his 79th birthday. He passed just 4 days before his birthday, which it's just weird and sad and would have been nice to sell. His birthday is going to feel a lot weirder this time around. Okay, so ominous whoosh. This is my sound effect today. If you put the captions on, many of his work, his TV shows and movies, you will probably see ominous whoosh, especially in the third season of Twin Peaks, The Return, and I'm sure other ones as well. So we watch captions with everything, and ominous whoosh, or the word ominous, comes up a lot. So, I don't know. What's an ominous whoosh? The next word is fire irons. Noun from 1646. This is utensils, like tongs, for tending a fire, especially in a fireplace. They're fire irons. I don't think I ever knew the proper term for these. I probably just called them the grabbers? What do you call them? The tongs, although I think of tongs as the ones in the kitchen when you gotta, you know, get your toast out of the oven or whatever, the toaster oven. Are you toasting in a regular oven? But no, they're fire irons because they're made of fire. They're made of iron, and you put them in the fire if you gotta move the logs around. All right. Next is firelight. One word, noun from before the 12th century. the light of a fire. Where might this fire be? It might be in a fireplace. Firelit is an adjective. Just the beautiful glow. Actually, hey, this would be nice. We should do this. Let's make some real weird light now. Let's change this mode to fire. Is it already set to fire? Ooh, how about that? These are my side lights. I'm going to do the same with this one over here. Let's grab this light and let's not forget to put them back. There we go. It's already set to fire. Oh no, the magnet got stuck on my music stand. I guess I can bump up the intensity, the dim. Let's see. Yeah, let's bump that up to 100. Is it gonna feel like I'm surrounded by a fireplace? I highly doubt that. But maybe it'll add a little something. I feel like I'm firelit now. I am lit by the firelight, the fake firelight. Okay. Next is fire line, noun from 1901. The synonym is fire break, which was a couple episodes ago. You clear a path so the fire can't go further. The fire has hit its line and it must stop. Stop. You shall not pass, fire. Fire lock. One word, noun from 1547.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Number one, a gun's lock employing a slow match to ignite the powder charge. Also, a gun having such a lock. So I don't know guns, so I don't know what this is. It's a lock on a gun that employs a slow match to ignite the powder charge. Is it saying that it's going to light the gunpowder more slowly? Well, I don't know. Employing a slow match. I don't know what this is. Number two, A. The synonym is flintlock. And 2B, the synonym is wheel lock. And I don't know what either one of those are. Flint, I know, has something to do with fire. If you're like trying to light a fire, you got to make some flints or something. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Next is fireman, or just fireman, noun from the 14th century. And this is also very appropriate to David Lynch because in the, well, fire, first of all, fire, and then also in the third season of Twin Peaks called The Return, there's a character named the Fireman. Are there any other? Well, in Blue Velvet, we just watched in the first scene, there is a slow motion shot, if I remember correctly, of a fire truck going by with a fireman on it waving. Hello, fireman. How are you today? This looks so idyllic. Okay, what is a fireman? Number one, a person who tends or feeds fires. Wait a minute. The fire people, the firemen, are not supposed to be feeding the fire. You're supposed to be getting rid of the fire. What fireman is feeding a fire? This one is a little confusing to me. I mean, I guess if you're like an arsonist, a pyromaniac, that maybe you would be called a fireman. You could be called a fireman because you love the fire so much. Just fire person. The synonym is stoker. Wait, again, that feels like you're feeding the fire. Okay, so this one is not the fighter of the fire. That would be number two. This is just the one who literally is, like it says, tends to the fire. But I never, when I saw tens there, I thought it meant like getting rid of it. No, this is the one who is taking care of the fire. Maybe when you're camping, you got one friend who's great at taking care of the fire, so they're the fireman. I guess I never really heard it used that way or have used it myself in that way, but yeah, I guess that makes sense. Oh, here comes the fireman. He's gonna tend to the fire. He's gonna stoke it. Gonna put some flints. He's gonna feed the fire. Number two, a member of a fire department, and the synonym is firefighter. Number three, an enlisted man in the Navy who works with engineering machinery. Why are they the fireman? In their engineering machinery? Is there fire engines, maybe? Interesting. Number four, a relief pitcher in baseball. And I believe that they would be called the fireman because usually when the relief pitcher is coming out, they're coming out at the end of the game to close this up. The first pitcher's tired. They come in and they're ready to go. They're not tired at all. They've been warming up. And they are very good at throwing those fireballs. They throw those fires so fast. Where with fireballer? Yes, they are also a fireballer, a baseball pitcher known for throwing fastballs. So they can throw very good, very fastballs because they just want to get the rest of the people out. Like, come on, let's just get them out. Be the fireman. Okay. Next is fire off. Two words. Transitive verb from 1888. To write and send, usually in haste or anger, as in fired off a memo. Oh, I think many of us have fired off texts or emails or something because, oh, we just feel so angry and we're so lit up and we got to just say what we need. But there can be consequences. If you don't, first of all, you got to reread. You got to make sure there's no spelling mistakes. If you want to get all your anger out, make sure that you've at least spelled things right and use proper grammar. I mean, come on. But maybe if you sit with it a little bit longer, you'll realize maybe there's another way that I could word this. Maybe I don't need to write it in anger or haste, and I shouldn't fire off something. Maybe I can send something with a little bit more positive attitude behind it. Fire opal, two words, noun from 1816, opal, O-P-A-L. The synonym is the number two definition for the word girasol, which I assume that's just some kind of opal. How is it pronounced, though, is what I would like to know. Let's see, girasol. Or girasol, yeah. Huh, okay. Well, I feel like I must post a picture of a fire opal on the social media because it sounds like it would be pretty beautiful. Don't you think? Fireplace, noun from 1669. I would like to re-shout out a very silly movie that we watched, Adult Swim Yule Log, which might not be available now. I mentioned it to a friend after the holidays, and they were like, oh, I want to watch it, and then they couldn't find it. So maybe this is only a holiday time kind of movie. I think it should be released 365 all year round, but it's a very fun, ridiculous movie that's centered around a fireplace. Number one, a framed opening made in a chimney to hold an open fire. Hearth is a synonym, but also a metal container with a smoke pipe used for the same purpose, to hold an open fire. I do not have a fireplace because we live in a condo and there's no chimneys or nothing like that, but my parents have a fireplace, and they still live in the same house that I grew up in, so that's the only house of theirs that I have known. And often we will just sit around the fireplace, whether it's on fire or not, whether there's an open fire in it or not, we will sit around that area because it's very cozy. But then, of course, it's great when you can light a fire, and I will often sit in front of it so my back gets warm and I will sometimes be the fireman. I will tend to the fire. I will move the logs around or add logs and stuff like that. And countless good memories around that fireplace. Seriously. Okay, now we have number two, an outdoor structure of brick, stone, or metal for an open fire. I have gone camping a few times, usually with friends, and so usually there's somebody else who sets up that fire. But yeah, there's like usually a metal circle, so you gotta keep the fire in that fireplace. Fireplaced, with a D at the end, that is an adjective. That house can be fireplaced, because it has a fireplace. I think the fireplaces that are two-sided, same fireplace, but there's one room over here and one room over there, and they both have access to the same fireplace, I think those are pretty cool. Okay, anything else? No, it's the place for fire. That's why it's called the fireplace. The place for fire. Next is fire plug. One word, noun from 1713. The synonym is hydrant, or also fire hydrant. Although fire hydrant wasn't in here, just hydrant. Hydrant, hydro, prefix water. That's where the water is for the people to take out the fires. But some people call it a fire plug. It doesn't say if this is a regional dialect thing. I don't know. I assume. Seems like this might be a bit of a British thing to say, a fire plug. But maybe it's regional. I don't know. Like other parts of America. The fire plug. But why is it called a fire plug? There's no etymology. It's a plug in the ground, kind of, where you can use to fight the fire? Fire pot. One word noun from circa 1625. Number one is a clay pot filled with combustibles formerly used as a missile in war. Wait a minute, what? Filled with combustibles formerly? So this, a clay pot that's filled with combustibles, okay, and they used to use this clay pot as a missile in war, or the combustibles inside the clay pot were used formerly as missiles in war. This is what I'm a little confused about. What was formerly used? I assume it's they used to use these clay pots, and maybe it's like a ball. Maybe not. I think of like a bowl, but maybe it was covered all the way around, and so the things inside were the combustibles, and they would throw them and drop them. These were like early bombs, maybe from the 1600s or earlier, I guess. And they were called fire pots because they was like a pot, and it made some fire. Number two, a vessel used in Eastern Asian cuisine for cooking foods in broth at the table. Also, the food cooked in it. I remember going, when I was in China for work, we went to a restaurant, and it was like, yeah, you could cook it all there at your table. And so I'm wondering if that was a fire pot kind of thing. A fire pot just seems like, in terms of cooking, it's like you could just cook. It doesn't have to be at the table. Why is it specifically at your table you're cooking this? I don't know. You cook anything in a fire pot. Next is fire power. One word, noun from 1913. 1A, the capacity, as of a military unit, to deliver effective fire on a target. What is their firepower? What is their capacity? How much damage can you do to a target? How many bullets do you have? How many people do you have? How many bombs do you have? How many tanks do you have? What's your firepower like? My firepower is love. Number 1B, effective fire. Effective fire is firepower? I'm a little confused by that. How effective is the fire? maybe this is the fire from the military because it's 1B. When they are attacking the enemy, if it's effective, it is firepower. If it's not effective, it's fire lame. 2A, effective power or force, as in intellectual firepower. That's the whole thing about firepower, is that it has to be effective. If it's not effective, it's not power. Intellectual firepower. Well, this is something I do not have. 2B, the scoring ability of a team or player, similar to the military, but we have taken it to a less lethal area. They're just scoring points. Oh, that guy has got so much firepower because he's throwing fireballs. Next is fireproof. One word, first form, adjective from 1610. This is proof against or resistant to fire. The word proof is a little confusing to me here. Let's quickly go to the next one. The second form of fireproof is a transitive verb from 1867. I mixed up my numbers again. It means to make fireproof. Okay, so the adjective, the first form, fireproof, it's proof against or resistant to fire. I mean, I know the concept. I just don't really understand how the word proof is being used here. It's a very silly sounding word when you say it by itself there. Proof. Proof. You're just making it resistant to fire. Something that is fireproof is resistant to fire. I need to move this thing back because it keeps on hitting the other thing, and I don't like that. So I am not fireproof. Let's just say that. I think that should be fairly obvious, but I should probably say it. Please don't light me on fire. But if I were to wear some certain clothes and things like the stunt people do, and maybe put that, don't they put like a fireproof liquid or gel or something on them? Then you might be fireproof for a little while. That would be weird to do that stunt thing where they set you on fire. But I'm very curious. Maybe just my arm. I would like to set my arm on fire. A fireproof arm. Okay. Fire sale. Two words with an hyphen. Adjective from 1953. Heavily discounted, as in fire sale prices. We're having a fire sale because we got to get everything out of here because we're closing shop. So come on, everything is 98% off. That's a fire sale. I would like to go to that fire sale. Why do they call it a fire sale? I don't know. What's that one? Fire sale, two words, noun from 1891. A sale of merchandise. Oh, I added a D. I was not supposed to do that. Here we go. A sale of merchandise damaged in a fire. Also, a sale at very low prices. So that's where this came from. If you didn't know, I didn't know clearly. If there's a fire and there's stuff that's like in okay shape, but it has a little char, it has a little smoke, it has a little something on it from a fire, you can still sell it, but you can't sell it at full price. No, no, no. You got to knock down the price real far. And then smart, smart money people were like, well, we can have a sale and we can call it a fire sale. Even though the stuff never caught on fire, we'll just call it a sale because we're chopping our prices real far. So it's a fire sale. That's where it came from. Okay, very good to know. Fire screen, two words, noun from the 15th century. It's a protective screen before a fireplace. It can't be after a fireplace. That's not helpful at all. It's got to be in front of the fireplace, before the fireplace. It's the fire screen. Don't forget to put the fire screen back after you have tended to the fire, you fireman, because something might pop out. Sometimes things pop, things spark, and they could fly out and start a fire on my back when I'm sitting in front of the fireplace, and I don't want that. Okay, next. Fire ship. One word, noun from 1588. A ship carrying combustibles or explosives sent burning among the enemy ships or works to set them on fire. Okay, so this ship is filled with things that will blow up. So you should not, you need to be very careful on this fire ship. When you're on your way to the enemy, don't be lighting any cigarettes or anything like that. Keep the fire away from the combustibles until it's time to put them together. So what, your explosives and burning among the enemy ships or works to set them on fire? Yep, you probably just got a bunch of those fire pots, those clay pots. You throw them at the enemy, and then they go boom. Fire ship. Ooh, I would not want to work on the fire ship. Fireside, first form, noun from 1563. Number one, a place near the fire or hearth. We're just going to sit here fireside, drinking our hot cocoa, roasting our marshmallows, cooking some sausages or hot dogs on a stick. It's best if you're fireside for that sort of thing, cooking the marshmallows, because if you're not fireside, you need a really long stick, and that is very impractical. Number two, the synonym is home. Huh, home, fireside. It feels like home when you're sitting next to the fire. I guess some people call their home just the fireside. There's a thing called a fireside chat, where you're sitting next to the fire and have a little chat. Usually, it's like a video, something, maybe like a president has done this, or corporate people have like a little fireside chat. Even though there's not literally a fire there, usually, they still call it a fireside chat, because they're sitting in comfy chairs, and there could be a fire nearby. The second form of fireside is an adjective from 1740, having an informal or intimate quality, as in, there is the example right there, a fireside chat. We're just going to have a little chat here. It's very intimate. It's very cozy. Fire station. Two words, noun from 1877. A building housing fire apparatus and usually firefighters. It would be very convenient for the firefighters to also be housed at the fire station where their fire apparatus is. What's their fire apparatus? A truck? A fire truck? Maybe a couple of fire trucks? There's maybe the long one with the ladder, and then there's probably another one, and I'm sure both of them can shoot water, and then probably an ambulance, or as we like to say, an ambulance. And then, they got hoses, and they got their fireproof gear, their hats and their boots and everything. And what else have they got in there? I think that's it. Maybe they got some tongs. Maybe some fire irons. Nah, maybe not. A lot of medical equipment. And yes, they probably live there. It would be very smart to be living there as well. We have two fire stations on our street. We're almost right in the middle. We're a little closer to one of them. We look to the right, there's a fire station just a couple of blocks away. We look to our left, over a mile away, there's another one. So yeah, we're a lot closer to that one. And so we get fire trucks and ambulances going down our street all the time. What else to say about the fire station? If you have, they even have a little sign in the window. If you have something or somebody that needs help, like it's like a baby drop-off place. If you don't want your baby, please keep your baby. But I understand there are weird circumstances. Not as many these days. Back in the olden days, this was a lot more common. Just drop off a baby at the fire station, and then they'll take care of it. They'll be the best firefighter ever, being trained since they were a baby. Have we gone away from the fire dog thing? Do the fire stations still have dogs? Dalmatians? I think we need more dogs in fire stations. Next, we have Firestone, noun from before the 12th century. Number one, pyrite, formerly used for striking fire, also the synonym flint. So, I guess they don't use this pyrite specifically anymore. But number two, a stone that will endure high heat. So, this pyrite, it used to use it for striking fire. So is there something particular about the chemical makeup or the outside of it? Is it very rough? What is it about this pyrite that they could strike fires from? Is there like a, there's got to be something that when you hit it with some, like another stone or something, it's going to create a spark. So there's got to be something in its chemical makeup. I don't know what it is. But a stone that will endure high heat. Oh, that's a firestone. It's not going to break or melt, so it's a firestone. The last word is fire stop. Two words with a hyphen. Fire stop. I wish we could just do that. LA, fire stop. In the name of love, just quit it. Okay, that would be great. This is a noun from 1897. A material used to close open parts, especially of a building, for preventing the spread of fire. This is a material. It's used to close open parts. So there are open parts of a building, and I guess for preventing the spread of fire. So I guess if the fire's on the inside, and there are open parts of the building, and you don't want the fire to go out of the opening, then you got to put a fire stop on it. It's fireproof, probably. What sort of material is this? Fire stop is also a transitive verb, so you can fire stop with fire stop. And I just want to look up, I think I'm getting better at finding my keys. There's a fire stop pillow. Interesting. Yeah, you can buy some stuff at the hardware store, Firestop. Looks like they, like where a pipe is, there's like a space around it. So you got to put some Firestop in there so fire can't get through. Lots of places to put some Firestop. All right. So now it is time to pick a word of the episode. Today we had firehouse, fire irons, fire light, fire line, fire lock, fireman or fireman, fire off, fire opal, fireplace, fire plug, fire pot, fire power, fireproof, fireproof, fire sale, fire screen, fire ship, fire side, fire station, fire stone, and fire stop. Okay, which one? I mean, Fire. I mean, there wasn't anything. There's a lot of fire stuff here. A lot of fire stuff. I think I might just need to pick fireplace as the word of the episode. Sitting around the fireplace. Sitting fireside at the fireplace. That's it. We don't need to go further than that. I will now tell you about a movie that we watched. The next one on the list is Lee, starring, why am I blanking on her name? Because my brain does not know things. Kate Winslet. She plays a real life person who was photographically documenting World War II. And I guess, I mean, they talk about her a little bit more at the end, but I guess this was like not known to most. There were only a few people who knew that she was doing this. And her son found all of her photographs after she died. And she has an amazing story. And so I highly recommend the movie Lee. Really amazing person to know about. And we did not know that Andy Samberg is in it. we're like, oh, Andy Samberg. And then he is there throughout the movie. I think I mentioned this with when I was talking to Matt. And he did a very good job. And of course, Kate Winslet did a very good job. And we enjoyed it. Go watch Lee. Okay, that's it for this episode. I'm going to now enjoy my little fireplace here. And that's it. Okay. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the file so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. And so, of course, this next part, I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.